love it. Grace Baldridge is here. Pop Trigger, Murder with Friends. Simone Boyce is here, KTL5. Morning News. So great to have you, Simone. We've never been on together.
I know. Finally, finally, man. You've been hiding from me.
I've been ducking and weaving, but I'm here now. Grace has breaking news for you in a second. I have been so hectic, I didn't get a chance to read your tweets. We'll do that the next segment. But I did want to tell you, I did tease a story about this guy named Jason Pye as opposed to Johnny Pye. He works at for the Koch brothers at Freedom Works. And he said it was unacceptable not to have the corporate tax cuts immediately. So that is unsurprising that the Koch brothers would want their tax cuts as soon as possible, and find it insane that the Republicans would delay it for even 1 year. How dare they? What did we bribe you all for? Okay. Now, we're going with the breaking news first, Grace?
No, we're going to go into that second.
Gotcha.
But we have a whole lot coming up in this second hour, so let's just get right into it.
Okay.
Louis C.K. has released a statement following the New York Times piece that detailed sexual abuse and misconduct by the comedian. He says, in part, these stories are true. At the time, I said to myself that what I did was okay because I never showed a woman my dick without asking first, which is also true. But what I learned later in life, too late, is that when you have power over another person, asking them to look at your dick isn't a question, it's a predicament for them. The power I had over these women is that they admired me, and I wielded that power irresponsibly. I also took advantage of the fact that I was widely admired in my and their community, which disabled them from sharing their story and brought hardship to them when they tried, because people who look up to me didn't want to hear it. I didn't think that I was doing any of that because my position allowed me not to think about it. I deeply regret that this has brought negative attention to my manager, Dave Becky, who only tried to mediate a situation that I caused. I brought anguish and hardship to the people at FX who have given me so much, the Orchard who took a chance on my movie, and every other entity that has bet on me through the years. I've brought pain to my family, my friends, my children, and their mother. The fallout from the piece by the Times and these allegations coming forward is that Netflix has dropped their plans to air a Louis special. Also, in less than 24 hours since the Times broke its story, CK has been cut loose by his film distributor, by HBO, and now by Netflix. FX, the current home of CK, produced Better Things in the original airing network of Louis, issued a statement that said the allegations were, quote, under review, and that the network was troubled by what came to light in the Times. Also, the Orchard has announced that they will not be moving forward with the release of the film I Love You, Daddy. Just a very short statement from them, ending with a thank you. Now, I want to get a response from this panel, but what I want to do first is just to break down a little bit about his statement that he released. We read it just in part, but if you read the full thing, you'll see words there like remorseful, reconcile, regret. A combination of words that you won't see is I'm sorry or I apologize. What I think is important to remember is that this acknowledgement is a result not of his own reflection on the situation. It is a result of us now knowing about these allegations that the New York Times have published. This is evidence because in early September, the New York Times asked him directly at a press junket about the allegations, probably knowing full well that they were going to be releasing the story. And when CK was asked about it then, before the Harvey Weinstein piece, before public opinion had swayed, he says, quote, if you actually participate in a rumor, you make it real. When pressed further on that, he said, they're rumors, that's all it is. So obviously, just a straight up lie. Now, with that said, I want to toss to you guys. This is obviously incredibly disgusting, and we just chime in, guys.
Okay, so
I will say, I was talking to someone before my tape. I'm really heated about this.
Yeah, as you should be. That's the correct response.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna have a range of opinions on it, so this could get interesting. Okay, here's what I need clarification on.
Yeah.
Grace. To what degree did he have power over these five different?
Okay. So in the late 1990s, there was an anonymous woman who was working on a television show of which he was a producer and a writer. She was working in production. And then in 2002, Dana Goodman, Julia Wallow, they were performers at a US Comedy Arts Festival. They referred to their coming onto this festival as their, quote, big break. CK was a featured performer there. So that means he's top billed. He's not their boss necessarily, but he wields more power in that situation. 2003, Abby Schachner was an up and coming comedian who called Louis, who was at that time a staff writer on Cedric the Entertainer's show, to invite him to a gig. He then responded to that by masturbating over the phone while he was talking to her. And then in 2005, Rebecca Corey was on a pilot. Louis was the guest star on that pilot when he asked her if he could masturbate in front of her.
Okay. So I have a range of opinions on those things, and so, but you know, we're all here, we're all discussing. So first, one thing I liked was his flat-out admission at this point, which is usually half measures. Harvey Weinstein with the, you know, if I did anything, you know, fine, I feel bad about that, but I'm now going to fight the NRA, which is random and a horrible, horrible non-apology. Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, the worst of the worst in terms of not admitting it, etc. He just comes out and says, I did it. So that was a tiny bit refreshing. On the other hand, Grace is absolutely right. He was caught. He never said he did it before he was caught.
He flat out denied it before he was caught.
And he denied it before. And so unlike Bill Clinton, he didn't go around smearing all of the people that had accused him of it. That's another big difference. But his manager, according to some of the, you know, the charges, tried to dissuade people from coming forward. That's bad. Okay.
And when we say his manager, it is perhaps the most powerful manager in the comedy world, which is incredibly insular, very protective. They protect their own. So it's not just, you know, any manager. I know it's sort of like, oh, he has a manager. Dave Becky represents Aziz Ansari, Amy Poehler, and other big names that I'm blanking on. Three Arts Entertainment is huge in the comedy world to be represented. So it's a very, he was a powerful man represented by an equally, if not more powerful man in Hollywood.
So, but I want to be clear, because now every one of these new revelations is puts in the same sentence as Weinstein and Cosby and all those guys, right? And I don't think that this one belongs in that category. And again, you guys tell me why I'm wrong on this. But it seems like the only one he didn't ask consent of was the one on the phone. Now, he asked for consent on all the other ones, which I think is enormously important. Now, did he abuse a position of power? The answer seems to be kind of in some of those situations. So none of these women directly worked for him. Now, that's not a complete blanket excuse, okay? He did have more power than them in some of the places where they co-worked, and so that is really relevant. But if you just get into Louis C.K. is a really powerful guy, and hence by definition, even asking for consent and then making a woman uncomfortable in a situation where there's a misunderstanding or whatever, to me, that's not a crime at all. That's nothing. So when they work together, it's a different and complicated dynamic. So that's my take on it.
He even acknowledged that just him asking for consent to do this in that situation puts women in a compromising position just because he's Louis C.K. and they are not.
So Simone, I hear you, but let's draw the lines here. And you know, and this is all just our opinions, but if is he so powerful he's not allowed to ask to have any kind of sexual relation with anyone? That's crazy. That can't be the standard. But they work together.
Why did he address it in his statement? Why did he say that I knew that I had power over these women who admired me, and I wielded that power irresponsibly? He himself says that that was irresponsible in the way that he did it. I don't disagree that powerful people can have sex with less powerful people, and there can be consent involved. But I mean, there are different situations and context, I think, for each mm-hmm. incident. And he said as much. He said that it was irresponsible the way that he went about it.
And also think about time and place for consent. I mean, and I feel weird even using, hey, is it okay if I whip my dick out? And you're a lesser known individual, and then it's Louis C.K. who is literally one of the biggest names in I would say in the 21st century, 20th century comedy. You know,
that's not easing into it.
Cenk, he asks Rebecca Corey on set when they're on set, hey, like, could I masturbate in front of you? The answer is obviously no, and he knows that. After she said, she's like, hey, dude, you have a pregnant wife and also a wife, so no. And he was like, I'm sorry, you know I have issues. He knows it's wrong. He acknowledges that his behavior is wrong. But he knows that that's not the time or place to ask for consent if you can masturbate when you're in a place of work. It's where they work.
So, Grace, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. In that scenario, I totally agree with you.
Okay.
Okay, so he, in that scenario, he is clearly in a position of power on the same show that they're working on, and he puts her in an awkward, untenable situation, and it's not fair to her. So that's why I'm trying to delineate between the different cases. In another case, he's a staff writer. He's not the legendary Louis C.K. yet. It is 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in one case, he has a bigger billing on the same comedy show that they're in. Okay, I guess you have a responsibility to be more careful in that situation, but it's not like I definitely control the fate of the universe, and if you don't do this, you'll be in a lot of trouble. It's just it's a different dynamic. So I think it's important to make those distinctions. Otherwise, any infraction gets you put in the same category as Weinstein and Ailes and Cosby, and I don't think that's right either.
So you don't think Louis C.K. belongs in that category with that pool of men?
Definitely not. No. So in fact, Weinstein and Brett Ratner, very similar fact scenario, right? Except with one enormous difference. Ratner says to Olivia Munn, in the first instance, he doesn't ask her, he doesn't say anything. She works for him on a set that he's the director on. She walks in at the time as an intern or whatever into his trailer, and he immediately masturbates in front of her. No consent asked, clearly the boss, that is 100% guilty, right? So Ailes, they work for him. O'Reilly, they work for him. And O'Reilly, non-consensual masturbation. And then Harvey Weinstein, asks for sex. She says no in a situation where he has her cornered in a little like remote area of a restaurant, right, where there's nobody else around. She says no, and then he says, then shut up and stand there while he masturbates. Clearly non-consensual, position of power. If we can't say that that's worse, I'm afraid that we're gonna then make those crimes, like it diminishes those crimes. Those crimes are really, really, really bad.
I hear you. I just feel it. I don't think that we should be qualifying when it comes to sexual misconduct. It feels wrong to say, well, he only did this, because then we're sort of allowing him to perhaps enter into the space. Simone and I were also talking about this before we went to tape, is how many years until we forgive him and he puts out a Netflix special that's called I'm Sorry or I Messed Up, you know? And that's something that if you do this at any job, you're fired. He's proven that when given a position of power, he will abuse that. Well, because you were talking about the allegations before. He was just a staff writer, but then he becomes more powerful and he gets more bold with his actions. So I think that I understand what you say about you don't want to diminish the other accusations of the other one, but I don't think that we're doing that by just calling out the very bad behavior of Louis C.K. I don't think that diminishes the other women who have come forward in the case of like Weinstein and Brett Ratner. Let's treat each case as an individual. Louis C.K. fucked up. We should be able to call him out for that, and he should be able to say, I'm sorry, or I apologize in your stupid statement.
I'm gonna leave the qualifying or ranking of sexual misconducts and sex crimes up to the victims. But I do want to talk about the timing of this statement. He has this film that's coming out, I Love You Daddy, and he wrote and directed the film and even wrote a character into the film that masturbates or pretends to masturbate in front of people. I haven't seen the film, but a lot of people who have seen the film say, wow, this is very familiar behavior. This actually is pretty reminiscent of the rumors that have been going around about Louis C.K. for years. So he spoke to the New York Times in September and said, these are just, when the New York Times brought up these allegations, he said, those are just rumors, as you read that statement, Grace. And now, a couple months later, he's coming out after the New York Times published this investigation and these reports, and now he's saying, now he's got this long, remorseful apology and this very in-depth statement. Now, honestly, before I set foot in this set, I think I had a more open-minded approach to his apology, and I wanted to say, wow, if someone is going to come forward and say, yes, I admitted to all this and what I did was wrong, then we have to acknowledge statements like that so that other abusers feel comfortable coming forward before they are caught. I don't know if Louis C.K. would have done this if he hadn't been caught. But I just question the timing of this, because it seems like he was more willing to profit off of his victims and their stories than he was willing to acknowledge that those stories actually happened. He only did that when he was caught red-handed.
Okay, I think last question. If there was no dynamic where they're working together, let's say it's a fan, and he asks, "Can I masturbate in front of you?" It is deeply uncomfortable, okay? And you could say it's quote unquote wrong, but I mean, is that a problem? Is he then in trouble? Does he have to apologize for that? Because he's way more powerful than the fan. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good question. I think it comes down to time and place and consent and the dynamic between. If it was a fan that, oh, I really wanted to hook up with Louis C.K. that night, but that's not what we're hearing from any of these women. None of these women were like, we were kind of hitting it off, we were chatting. That's not what was happening. It was they admired this comedian. He said that he wanted to spend time with them, or she felt so moved that she could even call him up and invite him to a show, to which he starts masturbating over the phone. So I don't think that it's a question that is hypothetical, because we don't know. That's not what the accounts that have come forward, because the women that have come forward were women that somehow worked with him, that were in the entertainment space, and especially in the world of comedy, that can be pretty broad, whether they were working on set, whether they were fellow comedians. So that's the dynamic that we're dealing with the accounts that have come forward.
I think, Cenk, you have to understand what it's like to be a woman alone in a room with a powerful man. And that may be something that you'll never understand. But I think you saw that with Weinstein's accusers. I mean, he asked the same question of them. And a lot of times they felt unsafe. They felt like, if I say no to this man who's bigger than me, who can overpower me, I don't know that I'll be able to get myself out of this situation. So I'm not giving you a yes or no to that answer. I'm just saying that sometimes you gotta understand the dynamic.
I understand that, and that's why we have these tough, sometimes awkward and uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm.
To hear each other's necessary conversations.
Yes, yeah. To hear each other's perspectives. So the perspective of a woman in that tough situation is important for everyone out there to hear. But I'm also telling you that from the perspective of a guy, mm-hmm. if you say a guy is just too powerful and he can no longer ask for any sexual act, or if he misreads a situation and there's a miscommunication, then he's guilty because he's more powerful. You're gonna have a revolt in the other direction, and guys are gonna say, no way, then I'm not buying any of this. I'm telling you right now, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I wonder if there's no easy answer to that question. I think I'm just willing to leave it there.
And moving on with more tough conversations, before we go to a break, but you know what, look, we're gonna have a pretty heavy second hour. It's important that we do have these conversations. This is a bit of a breaking story. This was added a little bit later. Actress Ellen Page released a Facebook post today detailing her own experience with sexual abuse and misconduct in the entertainment industry. In this lengthy statement, she calls out director Brett Ratner for outing her on the set of X-Men: The Last Stand. She also calls out a director that took her out to dinner when she was 16 and fondled her under the table. It is a really long statement. I urge you to please read the whole thing. It was incredibly moving for me to read, and just to get the full context of what she's talking about. But here's some quotes I highlighted. Look at the history of what's happening to minors who've described sexual abuse in Hollywood. Some of them are no longer with us, lost to substance abuse and suicide. Their victimizers, still working, protected even as I write this. You know who they are. They've been discussed behind closed doors as often as Weinstein was. If I, a person with significant privilege, remain reluctant and at such risk simply by saying a person's name, what are the options for those who do not have what I have? Let's remember the epidemic of violence against women in our society disproportionately affects low-income women, particularly women of color, trans and queer women, and indigenous women who are silenced by their economic circumstances and profound mistrust of a justice system that acquits the guilty in the face of overwhelming evidence and continues to oppress people of color. She also goes on to say that what we've done so far in this day of reckoning in Hollywood is not enough. She wants to see actions go further. She says, I've heard the industry decry Weinstein's behavior and vow to effect meaningful change. But let's be truthful. The list is long. and still protected by the status quo. We have work to do. We cannot look the other way. I did a Woody Allen movie, and it is the biggest regret of my career. When she sort of talks about what she wants to see, what is the growth of the industry, which is, I think, great about this statement, is that she talks about the issues and then what she wants to see changed. She says, I want to see these men have to face what they have done. I want them to not have power anymore. I want them to sit and think about who they are without their lawyers, their millions, their fancy cars, houses upon houses, their Playboy status and swagger. This is a long-awaited reckoning. It must be. It's sad that codes of conduct have to be enforced to ensure we experience fundamental human decency and respect. Inclusion and representation are the answer. So, Simone, I want to toss it over to you. Mm-hmm. She says inclusion and representation are the answer. I agree. Do you?
Absolutely. I think that what is happening in Hollywood right now is symptomatic of an industry that hasn't traditionally had a lot of women working behind the scenes and in the higher ranks of a lot of these studios. And I think that if you were to remedy that situation, the lack of inclusion and diversity behind the scenes, then I think that you would see a lot of these situations, or at least I hope, you know, I can't predict the future, but right. at least I hope that a lot of these situations could be avoided, because maybe if a woman who has been victimized doesn't feel comfortable talking to one of her male colleagues about this, maybe if there were more female colleagues around her, she might feel more comfortable or more safe explaining mm-hmm. this sort of situation to them. Now, that doesn't mean that women are that women haven't aided and abetted these men. We know that they have, and some women have facilitated these sorts of behaviors. But I wonder if we wouldn't see less of these, sexual misconduct cases if we had more women working behind the scenes in Hollywood.
Yeah. So let's say that in the scenario that she explains when she was 16. She goes to a dinner with this male director, and he begins to fondle her, right? And says and propositions her. If there was also a woman at the dinner, would the male director have been as outrageous, or would he have maybe checked himself, thinking, "Oh, wait, maybe she might not think it's kosher. Maybe that'll get me in trouble." I don't know, but it's a question worth asking. And for the guys who are like, "Oh, she's talking about these." Powerful guys shouldn't have houses upon houses. Mm-hmm. No, her point is that they shouldn't then take that. They can have all the houses in the world they want as long as they're not sexually assaulting 16-year-olds. And so her point is about the abuse of power. And I think that this is, and I've said this now many times, this is an amazing moment where women are rising up and saying, enough. And what you guys, and maybe you didn't think it was a big deal because you didn't see it, because it didn't happen to you. But now here we are, we're telling you what happened, and it's kind of happening all at once because everybody's gathering up the courage to finally come out and say their tales. But it's not okay to fondle a 16-year-old under the table and ask her to sleep with you, and then she's got other stories about how her grip then sexually assaulted her. Her grip is a particular kind of job on a set. And then how another powerful man, a director, asked her to sleep with another man in his late 20s and to tell them about it. All of these propositions. And this is the same thing that happens with racism. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So for a second, try to walk in their shoes. Mm-hmm. You're 16, you just got to Hollywood and you're trying to be an actor, and mm-hmm. this is an amazing moment, and a director asks you to dinner, and you're gonna make it and you feel fantastic. And next thing you know, he's all over you. How would you feel? You know, so I'm so glad that they're coming out and taking a stand and calling it out what it is, because this is hopefully then it gets those powerful guys to pause and to worry about what might happen to them, because that is unfortunately the only thing that a lot of people care about. The next time they do this, will I get outed? Great. If they're about to do something terrible, they should pause. Yeah. And they should worry about that.
And for so long, Hollywood has sort of likened itself to be the beacon of morality. We're so progressive. We're so accepting. And this is the example that we should be setting for the rest of the world. And obviously, at the core, it was rotten. It wasn't good. Yeah. And right now, we're having this day of reckoning. And I think that is good, because you need to weed out the people that were encouraging this toxic culture in this industry. But what I like about Ellen Page's statement is that she takes that. She's like, this is what's going on in Hollywood. But we know that this is an epidemic of violence against women in our society that disproportionately affects. And then she takes it so it's more than just in Hollywood. Yeah, we're talking about it because these are public figures, names that you've heard of before. But let's carry this over. This isn't the only industry that is rotten that have been disproportionately victimizing women and men with the abuse of power, sexual misconduct. Let's weed all those rotten people out because they have no business working if you are going to, you know, behave yourself in that way.
The true test is going to be, and I totally agree with you, Grace, before I move on, I think we need to address sexism and issues of sexual misconduct in politics, for one. I mean, there are so many other industries that sort of need that cleansing, that purging. But it's going to be really interesting to see how Hollywood discusses this, how they react to it, what is the story that Hollywood will tell the world come award season when it's supposed to be all, you know, golden statues and regalia and Hollywood is perfect. Is Hollywood going to be honest? That is what needs to happen. Save me the high and mighty political speeches if you can't get honest about what is happening right here.
So I think what connects Hollywood and politics is positions of power. And so this is directly one of those issues where people abuse the power that they have for people that work under them or that are trying to get positions. Roger Ailes in TV, even before he was at Fox News, would have people lining up for auditions to get on talk shows. And he said, if you don't sleep with me or like undescribable acts, etc., then you're not going to make it onto TV. So now this is Hollywood in terms of movies. The music industry might be the worst of all. And any situation where you have a person that can either make or break your career, unfortunately in media, that is very, very true. There's only a certain number of movies that are made. There's only a certain number of TV jobs that are out there, a certain number of people who make it in the music industry, and you put powerful men into those positions, and sometimes powerful women, but in these cases, it's been much more men. And they prey not just on women, but also on men, depending on their proclivities. And you give them that kind of power, then you have to be really, really careful. And if you're not careful, this is what happens. And for decades and decades, we were not remotely careful. So when Simone talks about cleansing out people, of course, we're not talking about all men or all people in power. We're talking about the bad actors.
The bad guys.
The bad guys who are using their position of power and abusing it for their own pleasure and et cetera, and preying on women and men to do that. And yes, we absolutely positively have to clean that out so that people make it on their own merit and not on this nonsense. And so you don't have all these victims who, by the way, in almost all the stories are scarred for the rest of their lives. And we only find out about it now. So that lasts with them forever.
Yeah. I think one of the, if I could say, positive things that I took away from Louis C.K.'s statement was that his victims get vindication from that. They actually have their abuser, coming out and saying, your stories are true. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that never happens. So if there's one positive thing that I could take away from that, I hope that we see more people just coming out and admitting to what they have done, because that is a validation that victims of rape and sexual assault rarely get.
Yeah.
All right, we've got more controversial stories when we return. We've got to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. John Stone and Diane Williams are the members of the day, TYT Network.
Yeah.
TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member, support the show, get the whole two hour show ad free. I got to go through these tweets real quick because you guys made a lot of great points.
Loaded.
First, just fun from the first hour. Raven Dawn Head says, I kind of wish I could meet Richard Fowler. He seems cool. I agree with you. Now on to serious stuff. Admiral Martin says, I mean, when we are at a point when consent is given and it's being called sexual harassment. So I agree with Cenk, where does the power dynamic end and normal sexual conduct begin? On the other hand, Joseph says, I feel like Cenk is oversimplifying the entire thing. Can a person of power not ask someone with less power? Of course, that in and of itself is not wrong, but context matters. Joseph, I'm hoping that what I was saying is that context matters. But thank you for making your point.
I agree, context matters.
Yes, that's very, very important. Everybody agrees to that. Matthew Vaslage says a lot of women are afraid of receiving violence in answer to rejection. A great point there as well. And lastly, not on this topic, Bud Askin says, don't let tonight's show sign off without a shout out to all of us veterans in the TYT audience.
Yes.
Thank you, Bud, happy Veterans Day to everybody, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right, last couple of stories here.
All right. Academy Award winning actress Lupita Nyong'o has slammed UK magazine Grazia UK for photoshopping her natural hair off its cover. She tweeted the following photo, where you can see how the photo was retouched, just saying, disappointed that at Grazia UK edited out and smoothed my hair to fit a more Eurocentric notion of what beautiful hair looks like. Hashtag DTMH, which means don't touch my hair, as we learned from Solange Knowles' album. She also wrote a longer post on Instagram, which in part reads that there is still a very long way to go to combat the unconscious prejudice against black women's complexion, hair, style, and texture. Obviously, the internet was abuzz. Some of the reactions that I really liked, just supporting Lupita Nyong'o, was shame on you at Grazia UK. Your Eurocentric idea of beauty is not, I repeat, not the standard. Don't ever edit our natural, God-given hair out. In case y'all don't know, we are beautiful just as we are. Hashtag don't touch my hair. Another person on Twitter said, I need these magazines to stop cropping our crowns. First Solange in Evening Standard, now Lupita in Grazia. Hashtag DTMH. I've covered the story before when the Evening Standard photoshopped Solange's hair out of the frame. Were you with me on that?
I
remember that. And it's baffling to me. It's baffling that it happened again. Simone, what is your response to this?
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy that Grazia thinks that they can do this and not get called out for it.
Get caught.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Lupita has several social media channels where she can post the unedited image alongside the edited photo. So it just seems kind of silly, number one, that we are even still uncomfortable with black women's hair in its natural state as a society. Like, why? It's how we are born, and it's a beautiful thing. And why do we need to keep criticizing that? But number two, it's silly to me that you think you can get away with this.
So a couple of questions about this. I thought that these stars had kind of editorial check before the print went out. I'm really surprised that they don't get to check their own their pictures before it gets printed. Me, if it was me, I'd want to check to see how fat I looked. Okay, I'm keeping it real. So I'm surprised they're like, yeah, whatever, you already took the picture, I don't care, we're just gonna doctor it and put it up. So that probably is problem number one. Number two is a question for you guys. You know, everybody keeps saying, and she's saying Eurocentric, but is that the Grazia cover more Eurocentric? I mean, it's just kind of almost near bald. I don't think that that's necessarily Eurocentric. It does, like, maybe they thought that the cropping out the hair made her look better. I don't know why they thought that, but I'm not sure that it's Eurocentric. Am I wrong? I could be wrong.
So she did call this Eurocentric. But I think probably what she was trying to do is just to refer to an overall perspective in society that Eurocentric beauty standards are more pleasing. So yeah, Maybe that's what she was trying to do.
Yeah, so look, I think the Eurocentric thing is absolutely real, standards of beauty. And the thing that really turns my stomach in some of the countries is when they have the white, the creams that make your skin look
skin bleaching
to make it look whiter.
Yeah.
And you know, there's an interesting backlash to that when some cultures are saying, if we want to make ourselves whiter, it's not on you in the West to tell us not to do it. And I was kind of blown away by that. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not sure I agree, but it's an interesting concept. Here, you know, they just should have better communication. And
they probably should have watched our coverage when they did it to Solange Knowles on the Evening Standard, which made it abundantly clear that you just don't touch a black woman's hair. And that also extends itself to photoshopping. I don't know why. We made that really clear, right?
We did.
You should watch that back, Grazia UK. We have to move on really quickly to our last story, which is about breakfast at Tiffany's is just getting a little bit more, a lot more expensive. Why is Tiffany's selling a $1,000 tin can? I don't know. Let's get into it. The iconic jeweler recently announced a new luxury home and accessories collection of everyday objects. The line was born out of the notion that beautiful things should not be limited to special occasions, Tiffany said. I think that what makes the collection unique is that it incorporates the best quality craftsmanship and design with a level of functionality that allows you to use these things every day, added Reid Krakoff, Tiffany's chief artistic officer. Now, what some analysts are saying is that they need Tiffany's needs to create a little bit of buzz surrounding the brand, and that they need to increase foot traffic into their stores and attract some millennial shoppers. So this is a little bit of a publicity stunt. We have some of the photos of these expensive items I want to toss to you. We have a bird's nest is one of the things that's on that list.
Ooh.
There you go. There's a bird's nest.
Is that a million bucks?
Let me see how much that. It's a $10,000 bird's nest. We also have a protractor. That is a $425 protractor, and then there is the $1,000 tin can, and then there's a $9,000 ball of yarn that you can't even play with. Do not give that to your cat. So they're expanding their accessory line, and they're going to have more than 1,280 items ranging in prices from $25 to $10,000. And that is just a taste of what they have on there. Please check out the full website. I did earlier. It was wildly entertaining.
Reaction
from you guys. Yes. Simone, Christmas list?
I don't want to ruin the surprise here, but I got you the protractor. I just figured that you could use a shiny.
And I'm so bad at math, and that's why I need it.
It's funny because we did a Secret Santa for a happy holiday party, or Merry Christmas, or whatever you want to call it. Fox News go nuts. Last year, and Tim Frisch was my Secret Santa, the head of the editors here, and he got me the rock that
from Nordstrom.
Yes.
The Nordstrom rock that retailed at $85. Why do I know that?
Yes, wow. Because we did a story on it, and he thought it was really funny, so he got me the rock. It's still sitting on my table, so that's why I don't need the $1,000 tin can.
Okay.
Okay. I love the story. It makes me happy for two reasons. Number one. I have a decent amount of disdain for the fashion industry. And stories like this prove me right. It's not real. It's just BS. Everything is like, oh, I do the guy, it's so beautiful. And other people go, blah, 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 and then they agree it's $1,000. It's
pretty
BS,
good.
Total BS. The whole industry is nothing but BS. Okay, go ahead and hate me. And then secondarily, I like that. People who are willing to spend $10,000 on a nest egg are losing $10,000. Those are exactly the kind of people who I don't want to have more money.
I just think it's funny how off base these companies are when they try to market to millennials. Like, I don't know a millennial that would pay $1,000 for a tin can. It's kind of like when Applebee's tried to blame millennials for their decline in sales, saying that millennials aren't interested in overprocessed, fatty, greasy, junky foods. Well, yeah, that's probably true because we've woken up and we want to be healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's literally all I got. They call it a modern luxury experience. I call this a load of horseshit.
Yeah.
In a tin can. Mm-hmm.
I just love that. Anybody who buys that tin can is by definition a douche. And so I'm super happy they don't have $1,000 anymore. Okay, love you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.